Imagine a pathway deep in the earth. Thrusting through soil, its passage is chronicled by centuries rather than decades. Drawing strength from the ground, it offers support and provides stability. As time passes, the tunneling fingers will mimic its leafy arms lifted high in celebration. Life can flourish only if the roots continue to grow deep. If the roots are strong, it will withstand great hardships, weathering any storm thrown its way. They are the anchor, and even the mighty oak, strong on its own, cannot stand long without their aid. Remember, though what offers its greatest support goes largely unseen, without it, even the mighty will fall.
Well, good morning, Five Point. There is an acknowledgement I need to go ahead and step forward and make. Since Clemson has gotten beaten 4 years in a row, and I'm really convicted that it's going to be 5 in a row, I'm changing bandwagons. Quit taking pictures. Stop it. I'm going to be one of those that I'm going with the team that's winning, and right now Carolina's winning. I'm going to take my national championship ring, my Orange Bowl ring, my two ACC rings, and put them in the back of a drawer somewhere. Take all of my orange clothes, that section of orange in my closet, and give it away. I'm going to take my two jerseys that I actually, the orange one and the white one that I have, that I plan on giving to my boys, and I don't know what I'm going to do with them. And I'm going to go ahead and get Carolina season tickets and start making that drive to hell and back, and I'm going to go ahead and just call it the way that it is. I'm Garnet and Black. Here we go. This is actually I did not have to borrow this shirt. I actually bought this shirt. This shirt is mine, and a good friend of mine actually gave me this visor. I think I look kind of like Steve Spurrier wearing this. Now, this is a quick question, just out of curiosity. How many of you truly believe that? Nobody. Why not? Because you know my heart. You know I would rather take this shirt and use it as toilet paper than I have to wear it. But here's the truth. Don't you hate it when people just kind of put on the shirt of the winning team and say they're a fan of that team? Yeah. Hey, it may be 4 in a row, and it may be 5 in a row, and oh, heaven forbid, 6 in a row. But if that's the case, I'm going to be wearing orange, okay? I say I'm covered by the blood of Jesus, but my blood runs orange. That's never going to change, all right? Now, we can laugh about that, and we kind of joke about it, but here's the truth. That's the way a lot of Christians are today in the American church. Hey, we put our Jesus t-shirt on, we say, we go buy us a Bible, and then we say, hey, I'm going to heaven. The whole time, God the Father knows your heart. Is that a fair assessment, church? Yes. And here's the truth. It's like all the Christians, not all, because look how many we have here today. Got a great crowd. But it seems like so many Christians take their Jesus t-shirt off during the summer. Where are they? The lake. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to go on vacation. Is there something wrong with a Christian taking vacation? How many of you going on vacation this year? Y'all going to hell. But a 4-month vacation, don't you think that's a little long? Come on. But now, we don't take vacation. You know, let's pretend this is my Jesus genie lamp. You know, I probably should have brought it out here. We don't take vacation from our Jesus genie lamp if something goes wrong during the summer, do we? Man, we rub, oh, please help me. But I ain't going to church. And just being honest, that's a great picture of the American Christian. Would you not agree, church? Now, you're here. I want to tell you, thank you for being here. If you're a first-time or second-time guest, I want you to know that you'll never see this again. Just go ahead and point that out right now, all right? But the point is this. We ain't supposed to put a Jesus t-shirt on every now and then and say that we're one of his, because he knows your heart. And the reason that we're in a series called Roots is because the American church and its people have lost the very foundation that we were supposed to be built on. Mic just went out. I'm on. Tim? All right, is that better? Tim? All right, let's do this. I didn't do nothing. All right, it's working. Here we go. The very foundation that we were built on seems to have been gone. And here it is. Here's the foundation. Now, every week I ask this. Let me see your Bibles. How many have your Bibles? Let me see them. Okay, hold them up. Hold them up high. Look around. It's still not everyone. All right, hands down. Oh, and if you are first or second time guest and you don't have a Bible, if you'll go through those two doors, we will give you a Bible free. No strings attached. I mean, just, I'd like to have a Bible. They'll hand you one. Why? Because this is a church and a pastor who understand the power of the Word of God. And without this, you can't be the man or woman of God you need to be. But now here's the truth. Be honest. How many of you, since last Sunday, have read the Bible every day? Raise your hand. Leave your hands up high. Leave them up high. Everybody, don't put your hands down. Look around. Everybody look around. Look at how few of people have read their Bible every single day. Now, here's the point I want to make. Catch this. Have you ever been in a church before where the pastor encourages you to read the Bible like this pastor does? Anybody? Raise your hand if so. Look around. Nobody. Would you agree that as messed up as I am, that your pastor is passionate about the Word of God? Yes. Would you agree that your pastor encourages you to read the Word of God? You're in a church that just about every single week the pastor asks you, do you have your Bible? You're in a church where your pastor asks, are you reading your Bible? You're in a church where the pastor gives you opportunity to make commitments to read your Bible on a regular basis, and very few of you even do it. You catching this? And then we wonder what's happened to the American church. You getting this, church? We've lost our roots. That's why we're in a series called Roots, because I want to help you have that foundation. I want to help you be that man and woman of God that you need to be. And this isn't the first time. Our theme verse came straight from 1 Corinthians. Read this with me. This is the Apostle Paul. And remember, the Corinthian church was in Corinth, and Paul came and he planted the church, and then he went on and he got this letter saying, Paul, you wouldn't believe it. We got all these people who say they're a child of God. We got all these people who say that they're one of his, and they're living however they want. You wouldn't believe it. It's like they're just like the world, but yet they say they're one of us. Sound familiar? Sounds a lot like the American church, doesn't it? And this is what Paul said. Brothers, who's he talking to? Talking to us. Brothers, Christians, brothers, people of Five Point. I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. You're a bunch of babies. And you know why you're a bunch of babies? You ain't getting no meat and taters. You're still on your mama's booty. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you still aren't ready. I want you to be ready. So we're in a series called Roots. I don't want you to change the t-shirt. When that breeze comes through, when that wind comes through, when that hurricane of life comes through and knocks you down, I don't want you changing teams. Does that make sense, church? And you're not going to do that unless you have a strong foundation root system. So today, we're going to talk about, I got to say this real quick because I've never tried preaching in a Gamecock shirt. I feel like I could lose my anointing. So if I start like cussing just while I'm up here, or if I start saying things that go completely against the Bible, it's not me, all right? I've been teaching the Bible for years at Sunday school, at life groups, as a youth pastor, on different continents, as a pastor here. But I've never done that from a Carolina shirt. Had somebody come outside after the second service, after the first service, and say, Pastor Dean, I want you to know that was the most incredible message I've ever heard you give. And I thought she was really bragging on my message. And she said, never take the shirt off. Okay, here we go. So this morning, We're going to talk about what I believe is probably the most important, if not the most important, message of this entire series. We're going to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit. Seven roles of the Holy Spirit this morning. And the reason I say it's the most important is this. I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit is the forgotten part of the Trinity. Okay? Now, if you're new to church and you don't go to church much, like, what is the Trinity? That's God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all known as one. Now, I don't have time to teach that. That's a tough one. So, I feel better. I can do a better job now, all right? All right, changing the t-shirt. When we pray, who do we pray to? And I hear people all the time, dear Lord Jesus, dear Father God, dear, but you know, I never really hear anybody say, dear Holy Spirit. Why is that? This is just my opinion. We don't know who he is, and we don't know what he's supposed to do. And without the Holy Spirit leading and prompting us, we can't be who we're supposed to be and do the things we're supposed to do. Does that make sense, church? I could spend, hear me, 4 hours right now talking about the roles of the Holy Spirit. I don't have time. So what I am going to do, though, is hit what I believe are the seven major roles of the Holy Spirit. And if you'll grab this, if you'll get this, I'm telling you, it will change your walk with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Holy Spirit, I am speaking straight to you right now. I'm coming to you as the pastor of Five Point, asking that you would right now bleed into the hearts of our people, that you would help them understand what a powerful role you play in our walk with Jesus Christ. Speak to us. Look at me real quick. Every believer in this room, every single one of you that claim to be a child of God, I'm talking to you right now. I'm going to pray again. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me, for your own heart, out loud, however you want to do it. And we're going to go to the Holy Spirit, and we're going to ask him to open our minds and to open our hearts. So let's pray. Repeat after me. Dear Holy Spirit, speak to me today. Open my heart, open my mind, and pour into me. Allow me to understand your role in my walk with Jesus. I want to leave different today, Holy Spirit. Change me. Lord Jesus, that is my prayer, that is my plea, and I pray that when we leave this place, you mess people up and that we will be different. I ask this in your name. Amen. Here we go. Seven major roles of the Holy Spirit. Number one, let's jump right into it. Regeneration. Regeneration. Well, Dean, what's that mean? Okay, great question. When you give your life to Jesus, you are stepping from death into life, correct? That's called regeneration. And if you've been in church at all, you've probably heard the Sunday school analogy of where the little boys in Sunday school class and the teacher's saying, how many of you would like to ask Jesus into your heart? And the little boy's like, into your heart? What is that? How can Jesus, a full-grown man, come into my heart? There's not enough room. That's a great question. I've said it. I've led thousands of people to Jesus by saying, will you ask Jesus to come into your life, to come into your heart? But it's not really Jesus coming into your heart. It's who? Now, let me make a real quick disclaimer for you, okay? I'm going to be skipping all over. Usually what I like to do is take one major text, have you turn there, and let me walk you through the pages of that scripture. But today, I cannot find in the Bible where it says chapter on the 7, 8, 9, 10, however many roles of the Holy Spirit. It's not here. So I got to do some skipping, okay? Now, if you have YouVersion, you can just follow along with me. If you're pretty good at flipping through the pages, you can hang with me. But I don't have time to turn you there and kind of wait till I hear the pages quit ruffling, okay? So here we go. Turn to 1 Corinthians. And remember, this is Paul writing to a church that's kind of gone head case on us. 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know, verse 19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? A temple of who? Who is where? In you, okay? Whom you have received from God. Who gave us the Holy Spirit? God the Father. You are not your own. You were bought at a Christ. What was the price for the Holy Spirit? Christ, Jesus' death on the cross. So when you say, Lord Jesus, forgive me my sin, come into my life, Jesus has the right to give you the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense, church? All right, you're in 1 Corinthians. Just flip over, just go backwards to the left a little bit to Romans, just right there before it, Romans 8. This is huge. Who wrote Romans? Paul. Anything that ends with an uns was written by Paul. Rome uns, Ephesians uns, Colossians uns, Galatians uns, anything that ends with uns, okay? So Paul wrote Romans, the same guy who wrote 1 Corinthians. And this is what Paul, this is huge. Romans 8, verse 9. You, talking to us, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. You're not supposed to be controlled by the spirit of the world, of evil, once you give your life to Jesus, okay? You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. Now listen, if the Spirit of God lives in you, in other words, if you have the Spirit, you should be controlled by it and not that of the world. Keep going. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, this is huge. He what? Does not belong to Christ. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit, do you know what that means? Say it. You're lost. You will spend eternity in hell. You are not one of His. Does that make sense, church? Do you see just how important the role of the Holy Spirit is? Without Him, you are lost. Isn't that kind of harsh? And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Number one, the major roles of the Holy Spirit. Number one, regeneration. Ask Him to come into your life. Number two, huge. Interpret Scripture. Once you ask the Holy Spirit, Jesus, to come into your life, one of the major roles, as you've heard me say this before, is He gives you the spiritual equipment to do what you need to do as a child of God. April 12th, 1987, I got saved. April 13th of 1987, that Monday, I started reading my Bible. Now, here's the deal. I couldn't wait. Man, I was jacked up about reading the Bible. How come on the 12th, I didn't really care about the Bible, but on the 13th, I was jacked up about the Bible? What was the difference? Holy Spirit. Now, all of a sudden, instead of me opening the Bible and reading it and saying, yo, I really don't care. I don't give a flip about what this book says. Now, April 13th, I couldn't wait, and I couldn't wait to see what it said. What's the difference? I'm doing too good a job for you to sit there and look at me like I'm stupid. So I'll say it again. April 12th, it didn't make sense. I didn't want to read it. April 13th, I couldn't wait, and it made sense. What's the difference? Time out now. What do I do then when I deal with people who've been saved 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, and they say this to me? Well, I just don't like reading the Bible. It just doesn't make sense. I just don't enjoy it, so I don't read it. Ding, 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 ding. This bell begins to go off. You know what that bell's telling me real quick? Let me tell you why you don't want to read the Bible. Let me tell you why it doesn't make sense. You don't have the spiritual equipment. And at that moment, my heart breaks for that person. Why? Because in their minds, because they raised their hand in Vacation Bible School, they're saved, they're a child of God, they've never read the Bible, they don't want to read the Bible, doesn't make any sense, they don't have the Holy Spirit, but in their minds, Satan has tricked them to believe they are one of His. You getting this, church? And you know who I believe I just described? Majority of the American church. You are in a church where the pastor begs you to read the Word of God. And a handful of you read it every day. Are you getting this, church? You know why I believe a lot of you do not read the Bible? You don't have a desire to. You'd rather be on Facebook. You'd rather watch TV. You'd rather do anything than read the Holy Word of God. 1 Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians with me. You were there, go back to it. 1 Corinthians 2. You ever got a new Bible? And because of having a new Bible, the pages stick together? I have a new Bible, and the pages are sticking together. Got it. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. What we have received, okay, that being the Holy Spirit, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. Now listen, this is big, this is big. Explaining spiritual realities with spiritual taught words. That's the spiritual equipment that I'm talking about. And without the spiritual equipment, you have no desire to read this. And if you did open it, you don't understand it. Well, Dean, I've asked you to do a study on Revelation. You say you won't do a study of Revelation because you don't understand it. Okay, it's a fair question. Does that mean that you'll understand every single word just the first time you open it? No, but let me ask you a question. I usually read the entire Bible every year on my own, early of a morning. I love reading through the pages of Scripture. And every single time that I make my way through the pages of Scripture, all of the pieces of the puzzle seem to fit together better and better every year. Why is that? I'm beginning to understand it more and more. But if you've been saved 20 years and you've never read the Bible and it still doesn't make a bit of sense to you, then I think we ought to have a little ding, 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 ding moment, don't you? Why? Read this with me. Keep going. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit. Ooh. Did you catch that? So for those of you in here who go, well, I don't care what the Bible says. I just don't believe that's true. I just don't believe that's true. I don't. You know why you don't believe the Bible's true? You don't have the spiritual equipment. Are you getting this, church? Now, some of you right now, you may be disagreeing, but you ain't disagreeing with me. You're disagreeing with who? The King. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Ooh. So when people come to me and say, Dean, I don't understand the Bible. Can you help me understand it? This is the first thing I always ask them. I'll ask you this right now. Have you ever prayed for the Holy Spirit to open your eyes, to open your heart, and to help you understand the pages of Scripture? Have you ever done that? Because if you haven't done that, you are not using the power of the Holy Spirit. Because one of his jobs is to help you interpret Scripture. You getting this, church? So if you never call on him to help you, why would he help you? So I always throw that one out there. But then I'll also ask the question, well, if you're having a hard time understanding it, how often do you read it? Well, I usually read it on Christmas and Easter. Houston, we have a problem. We have a problem. Let me finish on interpret Scripture with this. John, don't turn there, we don't have time. John 14, 25 says this. This is Jesus himself speaking. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you, say this with me, teach you what? Okay, if the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, what if you do not have the Holy Spirit? What are you going to be taught? You catching this? Who will teach you all things and will remind you of what? Well, if the Holy Spirit is never reminding you of anything, could it be that you don't have? Say it. Holy Spirit, remind you of everything I have said to you. I'm going to go ahead and call it the way that it is. In this church, I believe we have people in this room right now that the Holy Spirit himself is convicting you in your heart, and he's knocking on your door saying, you don't know me because I've never came into your life. There's a reason the Bible makes absolutely no sense to you. You don't have the spiritual equipment. There's a reason you do not ever want to read. You'd rather be on Facebook for 3 hours than to spend time with the Holy King. Because you don't have the spiritual equipment. Let's pray. Every eye's closed, every head's bowed. If you're a born-again believer, you are a radical follower of Jesus Christ. Would you pray for those right now that Satan is trying to blind and trying to trick? Guys, I'm begging you, because your pastor loves you so much. Man, I want to spend eternity with you. But I'm convinced right here, right now, in this room today, there are people who are far from God. It's because you've never accepted the Holy Spirit. I'm convinced that right here, right now, in this room are people who have been tricked to believing that they are one of His. But yet you never want to read the Bible. Come on, guys, get honest with yourself. How long has it been since the Word of God became a joy in your life? The Word of God became a passion in your life? How long has it been since you couldn't wait to spend time with Him? Could it be there's a reason? I am not the Holy Spirit. I do not know your heart. You do, and He does. So right here, I'm asking, just like in the first service, Dean, you're right. Dean, the heart's about to beat out of my chest. That's Him. That's Him knocking. That's Him trying to get your attention. Dean, this morning, I want to take care of this. If that's you, you're saying, Dean, I don't know Jesus. Dean, I don't have the Holy Spirit inside of me. If that's you, just raise your hand real quick. Man, I ain't going to embarrass you. I just want to see your hand. I see you. Thanks, dude. Someone else. I see you. Thanks. Someone else. I see you, man. Thanks. I see you, sweetie. Thanks. Anybody else? Last chance. Oh, man, I see you. I see you. Thanks. If you raised your hand, look at me. And if you didn't raise your hand, but you're like, you feel that in your heart, just look at me. And no one's looking but me and you. I ask you to do me a favor. I'm going to ask you to get this taken care of. And this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to tell you beforehand. I'm going to ask you to stand up right where you are and make your way to the back where we have counselors. And they're going to lead you to the Holy Spirit. They're going to lead you to Jesus, where you can invite the Holy Spirit to come into your life. I didn't even ask you to get up. People getting up and making their way already. Yes, sir. So if that's what you want to do, make your way to the back. It's okay, man. Yes, sir. Make your way to the back. There's one. There's two. There's three. There's four. There's five. There's six. Anybody else? Man, aren't you glad to be a part of a church where people get saved all the time? Woo. Now, for those of you sitting, look at me. So if you didn't raise your hand, you're saying that you're a born-again believer, or maybe you're a first or second-time guest, or you know you're lost and you're good with that right now. Okay. But for those of you that are born-again believers, let's pray real quick. Holy Spirit, as I watch those young men walk out of this room, my heart just rejoices. Would you speak deep spiritual truths into their life where that they will fall radically in love with you? I pray for those who raised their hands but yet did not move, that you make them miserable. And for those who do not know you but didn't even raise their hand, I pray you begin to prick their hearts and soften it, because there's so many hard hearts today. Until they fall in love with you and understand how much they truly need you. Again, every eye's closed. For every believer in the room who'd say, Dean, you're right. Man, I've never really asked the Holy Spirit to help me understand the Word of God. Dean, I want to read the Bible. Dean, I want to begin to have a passion for it like you talk about. Dean, I want to read the Bible every day. Dean, would you pray with me this morning that the Holy Spirit would begin to open my heart and my mind and give me a love and a passion? If that's you, kind of raise your hand real quick. And there's hands everywhere. Repeat this after me. If you just want to do it in your own quietness of your heart, if you want to say it out loud, fire away. Dear Holy Spirit, open my heart and mind right now. Give me a passion for the Word. Convict me to be in it. Give me a desire to be with you. Open my mind to understand the pages of Scripture. Help me to believe just like you believe. Allow me to be drawn closer to you than I ever have through the pages of the Holy Word of God. Lord Jesus, that truly is my prayer for this church, that we will rely on the power of the Spirit, and we will rely on the power of the Holy Word of God, and ask this in your name. Amen. Number one, regeneration. You have to ask the Holy Spirit into your heart to change you to become a child of God. Number two, he helps interpret Scripture. Number three, let's keep right on rocking and rolling. Spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Every single person in this room, when you were born with what's called talents. You have different talents. Some are good at this, some are good at that. Everybody in here has talents. But when you ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life, you were given what is called spiritual gifts. Now, does everybody have all the spiritual gifts? You can laugh at me, and it's okay. You've laughed at me before. I'm a dork. I have literally prayed, Holy Spirit, please give me the gift of song. Let me sing good, please. And I've prayed that many, many times. I'm awful. Tim and the band, I've seen Tim, they have in-ear monitors, and even though they'll mute me where you can't hear me, sometimes my mic is still on. And I've seen Tim have to take his mic out, and I'm like, oh, that's me. Let me take my mic. I'm so off key that Tim can't even be on key to lead all of you. So I've got to take my mic off or cut it off so I'm not bothering him. I'm that bad. But this is the way I look at it. I'm not singing for you anyway. All right, if you're standing beside me and you're looking at me, I'm going to punch you in the mouth, all right? I ain't singing to you. I'm singing to Jesus. And if you don't like it, you move. Fair? Thank you. Give me a microphone. I'll jack his place up during worship time. Come on. Now, here's the truth. Every single one of us was given a gift. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians. And for a lot of us, you were given more than one gift. And I'm not sure what they are. You probably need to take a spiritual gifts inventory, a spiritual gifts test, so you know what they are. Why? Because if you have gifts, catch this, if you have gifts, if the Holy Spirit gave you gifts, not if, but the gifts that he gave you, and you're not using them, it is called, it's okay, say it, it is called sin. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 says this. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Well, what's that mean, Dean? That means all of us have a different kind of gift, but they were given by the same Spirit. Now, flip down to verse 11. He goes through and he lists a bunch of different gifts. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Obviously, when he got to Dean Herman, he said the gift of song, let's keep right on going. Different gifts. And all of you have different gifts, but here's the point I'm trying to make. Take my Aunt Irma. She's my mom's sister who lives in Wise, Virginia. Aunt Irma was born without the sense of smell. She cannot smell. I have seen her cooking before and be at the cupboard and this almost be on fire and not say nothing because I'm like, surely to goodness, at some point she's going to, no, she's not going to smell it. Why not? She can't smell nothing. Now, here's the problem. If you can't smell, a lot of times that takes away the sense of taste. I can't imagine me outside cooking a great big thick 2-pound ribeye. Come on. Oh, that sounds good. And you go in the house and you know go to get something, you come back out and that whiff. You know that whiff I'm talking about? Man, that's heavenly, isn't it? I believe there'll be a part of heaven you walk through and you're like, ribeye. Mm. See, Aunt Irma's never experienced that. Never. But now here's my question. Has my Aunt Irma led a really good, productive life? You're like, we don't know. We don't know her. She has, okay? She's led a really good life. But has she missed out on some really good things by not having the sense of smell and taste? Here's the truth. Some of you are the smell and the taste of Five Point. You have gifts, and you're not using them. You come in, you sit, you leave. You come in, you sit, you leave. You never do jack squat for the kingdom of God. It's all about you. Do we need you? Yes. Can we survive and have a productive church without you? But will we be everything and enjoy everything that we want to be without you? No. All right, let's go on down. Go to verse 27. Now you are... 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And when you say, I'm not going to use my gifts for him, you are hurting the body of Christ. Catch that? Regeneration. Interpret Scripture. Spiritual gifts. Number four. I couldn't think of a really deep theological way of saying this, so I put it in Dean terms. He changes us. The Holy Spirit changes us. You're in for 1 Corinthians. Just flip over backwards again to Romans, to Romans 7. Now, before Christ, we were to be all about me. All about me, me, me. But then once we give our life to Christ, it's not about me anymore. It's about him. Romans 7, verse 15. Now, before I read it, let me make this example. I don't have to ask if you've ever done this. I know it. All of us have. Have you ever had this battle that rages inside of you of wanting to do something good, but deep inside you want to do what's wrong? Good example for me. Let's go to Mutz. I hadn't even started yet. Give me a break. I've had me 2 plates of ribs, that fried chicken, a big old heap of them shrimp, some of them green beans, that corn on the cob. I've had that sweet potato souffle. I go get my great big sweet tea. I sit down and I eat it, and it was good. But when I'm done, I want more. So I'm sitting at the table, and I'm thinking, do I need 4 more ribs, 2 more pieces of chicken, another piece of corn on the cob, green beans, and some more of that sweet, sweet, sweet potato souffle? No, I know I don't need it. I know I don't need it. But what do I do anyway? I go get it. So on this guy on the side, you have the good angel going, Dean, don't do it, don't do it. Dean, you know you're already full. If you eat that, you're just going to get fatter. Don't do it. Then you got the other little guy going, Dean, eat till you puke. Just go and eat till you puke. Hey, you're not as fat as most pastors. Dean, it's okay. Dean, it's okay. You're not that fat. Go eat anyway. You know the battle I'm talking about? And yours may not be food, but it's something else. Does that make sense, church? Here, let me give you one that I know will really help with a lot of you. Money. You live a very blessed life, but all we ever want is more. It wasn't until Africa that I got changed. When I grew up having everything, the big white house on the hill, the lake, the campers, the boats, the motorcycles, the 68 convertible Mustang, I had everything. And I was taught by my dad, happiness comes through stuff, through money. Then I go to Africa, and I see people who don't even have toilet paper who use their left hand, and they're happier than we are. So I come home, and the battle begins. My truck's 15 years old. So the good devil says, or the good angel says, not devil, the good angel says this. Dean, your truck's 15 years old. Dean, you could go get a new truck. Dean, you got perfect credit. Go get a new truck. But then the other guy's like, don't do it, man. Don't get deep in debt. Don't do it. Then the other one's like, go get it. You deserve it. Go get it. Dean, that one's on sale. You know if it's on sale, it's okay. But the other guy's saying what? Dean, don't do it. Don't do it. Have you ever had this battle raging, whatever it is, the truck, mutts? How many of you ever had that battle raging inside of you? Raise your hands. Yeah. You know who it is? You know who that battle rages? It's all of us. You remember that guy called Paul who wrote 1 Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and all that other stuff? In Romans 7, if you want to turn there, go ahead. You were in 1 Corinthians, just kind of flip back over to Romans. Romans 7, this is what Paul himself said. Romans 7, verse 15. I do not understand what I do. Why do I do this? I know I didn't need to go back. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. I want to sit here and not go back and get more ribs. So why do I do it? But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. Did you catch that? Paul's saying, why did I do this? I didn't want to. Because we have this war raging on. And this war will rage until the day that Christ returns. You got this, church? The day will never come to an end. I don't care if you're a pastor or not. The day will never come that you are completely, totally sanctified and glorified and you are a perfect human being. That will not happen to the other side. So this war is going to rage inside of us until that day. So how do we get from the bad guy going, do it, to us listening to the Holy Spirit saying, don't do it? More time right here. The more time with the king, the more you want to be like the king. Turn to Galatians. You got to flip over some. Turn over to Galatians with me real quick. Galatians 5. I want you to hear what Paul says about this. Galatians 5, verse 19. The acts of the flesh are obvious. And he lists them. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let's be honest. Out of all the sins that I just listed, selfish ambition, envy, orgies, drunkenness, hatred, how many of you would agree, how many of you would agree that you fall inside of some of those sins somewhere? Raise your hand. Okay, you know who it is? It's all of us. Well, he just said that if you do these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So does that mean everybody in this room is going straight to hell? What he's saying is this. There's this battle going on, this war that's raging inside of us. Now, keep going. But the fruit of the Spirit, now he goes to tell us what the fruit of the Spirit is. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Since we live by the, what, by the what? Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. So what he's saying is this. Here's the day you got saved. Here's the day that you truly go spend eternity with Christ. Either he returns or you die. In this time period called life, it is our desire to begin to move to being more like Jesus. Now, here's the problem with all that for many people in the church. You got saved, and you're really happy with the way you are. And you never really want to be more like Christ. You just want your heaven ticket. You catching this? Here's a good one. Here, let me really mess some of you up. There's people in this room, you've been saved 20 years, and you've never tithed in your life. You've never given everything. You've tipped God. You've thrown something in the bucket. But 95% of this church does not tithe. So here's my question. How could you say you're a child of God and continue not to tithe 20 years? That leads us straight to number 5. The fifth role of the Holy Spirit, conviction of sin. Let's go back to me again. When I did play ball at Clemson, I think the heaviest I got was 310. There wasn't no fat on that 310. That was a solid 310. All this around, back up here, it just dropped. I just had a bad moment, okay? I'm okay. Let's get back to where we're supposed to be. Just mad at gravity. Woof. So when you get done playing ball and you still have this huge appetite and you eat that way, but yet you don't work out and practice, what happens to you? You get fat. You get old. Things start moving and you don't look like you used to. And I knew I had a weight problem. And I had this conviction in me to do something. Now listen to me, church. Listen, please. The Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin. You doing something about it is on you. You catching this? It's just like my weight. I finally said, bump it. I'm tired of it. I've lost 35 pounds. I want to lose another. I'd love to get to 260, down to 275, 276. But here's the truth. I still got some ways to go. And the only thing that makes me want to lose this weight is the Holy Spirit. Because when I look in the mirror, I see the man of steel. Now, what you think, I don't care. I still walk by my wife and say, you a lucky woman. See, but God may not quite look at it that way. Are you with me? You don't see the same thing I see when I look in the mirror. It's called conviction of sin. Take your Bible, turn to John. John 16. Just kind of go backwards. If you're in Romans, go to the left just a little bit. If you're in Galatians, you got to go back. John 16. And this is Jesus telling us of the Holy Spirit. But I tell you the truth. John 16, 7. Jesus speaking. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. In other words, if I don't go ascend to the Father, he's telling his disciples, if I don't ascend to the Father, if I don't leave, you will never have the Holy Spirit in your life, and you've got to have the Holy Spirit. Keep going. The counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. Change comes from you. Catching that, church? John 16, go down to verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Well, here's a question. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, how can he guide you into the truth? That's why so many people go, it doesn't make sense. I don't believe it. You don't have the Holy Spirit. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit, he can't tell you what's about to come. So many people say, Dean, I just wish the Holy Spirit, I just wish God would speak to me. Unless you have him, you can't. That leads us to number 6, your prayer life. Did you realize just what a huge role that the Holy Spirit plays in your prayer life? And see, without him, your prayer is meaningless. Let me ask you a question. Because if you truly understand prayer, you'll get this. Have you ever been in a state where you were trying to pray and you didn't even know what to say? You ever been there? Well, then all of a sudden, the words began to come. Where do those come from? Spirit. Have you ever known that you needed to say something, but yet you were scared, something about Jesus, but you were scared, and then you prayed, Dear Lord, please give me the words to say too. And you walk up, man, they just start flowing. That ever happened to you? Man, and when it comes to witnessing, I say all the time, this is usually what I say, Holy Spirit, don't let me mess this up. Give me the words to lead this person to you, because if it's on me, I'm going to probably lead them straight to hell. And then I get up there, I get done, and I'm like, dang, I did good. Where'd that come from? Oh, that's the Holy Spirit. You're too stupid, Dean. See, with the Holy Spirit will let you do that. Does that make sense? Are you getting this? And when you don't rely on the Holy Spirit and you try to do a lot of the stuff on yourself, you end up leading people straight to hell. The reason so many of you don't get this, let's go back to our genie lamp. Your prayer life consists of you, I need something else. Oh, I need more money. I need a better job. I need my marriage. Oh, please heal my kids of cancer. Your prayer life consists of your wish list. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an intimate love relationship with Jesus where you're speaking to him because you want to. You getting this? I want you to write this down. The Bible is God's conversation to us. Okay? The Bible is God's conversation to us. And God speaks to us in 3 ways. You may want to write this down. It's not in your handout. But God speaks to us in 3 ways. Number 1 is what? Bible. Guess the second way God speaks to us. Holy Spirit. So if you never hear from God, could it be you don't have the Holy Spirit? The third way is godly people. Now, I didn't say Oprah and Dr. Phil. I said godly people. Throughout the pages of Scripture, you see where godly people, Jethro came and spoke to Moses. Nathan came and spoke to David. The list could go on. When godly people come and pour into your life, that's the Holy Spirit using them. But now this is big. You got to catch this. God speaks to us in 3 ways. The Bible, Holy Spirit, godly people. But prayer is our conversation to God. God speaks to us, and then we speak to him. And prayer is our conversation. And when you begin to understand the power of prayer, not in the power of your wish list, but the power of a relationship where you talk with him because you're radically in love with him, then you will begin to understand a real love relationship with Jesus. You catching this, church? Read this with me. Romans 8, verse 26. Man, I wanted to read a bunch of other stuff, verses 22 through, but I don't have time. Romans 8. Verse 26. New pages come apart. Seriously, read it on the big screen. Here we go. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now, in the same way, you got to go back to read the previous verses. That's what I wanted to read, but I don't have time. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, But the Spirit himself, what's he do? He intercedes. He tells us exactly what we should pray for. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Without the Holy Spirit, our prayer life's nothing. But you know the thing that just amazes me? Every believer in this room has the right to go into the Holy of Holies. And you never do. You go into your wish list room, but you don't go just to speak to the King. Number 7, I want to finish. God, I'm going to try to say this nice. I am so tired of the Christian who goes, I can't. I just can't do that, Dean. Dean, I'm scared. I could never. Then you don't have the Holy Spirit in you the way that you need to. But you see, the Holy Spirit gives us boldness. I love Christians who want to quote Philippians. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Except tell my sister about Jesus. I could never do that. She'll die and burn in hell, but I can't say nothing. Really? I can do everything, unless it makes me uncomfortable. I can do everything in Christ, but I can't read my Bible. Are you getting the point, church? See, it seems to me that we can do everything that's really convenient for us. You see, the Holy Spirit, 2 Timothy 1:7 says it this way. For God did not give us a spirit of, Timothy, say this with me, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. I truly do think we can win this city. I think this church right here could lead thousands of people to Jesus Christ. I do. I'm that stupid. I'm that naive. Because I believe the Holy Spirit wants to do that. Let me finish with this. Well, Dean, why isn't that happening? Because so many of you quench the Holy Spirit. Let's be honest. If I've ever asked you to raise your hand, I'm asking you right now. How many of you know the Holy Spirit has been prompting your heart before on a Sunday morning? He has messed you up. He has mashed your toes. You know you need to move, and you sit right there, and you don't budge. How many of you have ever done that before on a Sunday morning? Raise your hand. Raise your hand high. Look around. Why? Why? What you don't understand, what you're doing at that point, are you doing what you're doing, what is called quenching the Holy Spirit. Does God the Father want to see revival in this church? Does he want to see revival in this city? What's he waiting on? He's waiting on us. What's the Holy Spirit waiting on? Us. How many of you have ever wanted to just raise your hands and scream and shout during a song, but you don't? You know why you don't? Because you're quenching the Holy Spirit. It's killing us. Let's start listening to him and not to others. Make sense, church? Let's start worshiping the way the Holy Spirit tells us to. Let's start saying the things the Holy Spirit tells us to. And let's quit being a bunch of limp, weenie-backed Christians and start doing what he's told us to do. Let's lead this city to Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I want every bit of him. I want all that I can get. Because I want to be empowered to do the work that you've called us to do. That you've called me to do. So I'm asking you that you just mess this church up. I'm asking that we see you do great things here. And that it would begin today. Every eye's closed, every head's bowed. Dean, you're right. Dean, I am not relying on the power of the Holy Spirit enough. If that's you, raise your hand real quick. Raise your hand. Hands. Hands everywhere. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is the forgotten part of the Trinity in the American church. Look at me. Bump that. Look at me. Dean, today I want to call on the name of the Holy Spirit to begin to anoint me and to use me and to do great things through me. If that's you, raise your hand real quick. Raise it high. Raise it real high. Pray out loud with me. Holy Spirit, anoint me today. Get all over me. Use me in a great way. Convict me, and I will change. Lord Jesus, I pray that they meant it. That they'll do something with it, and that we will begin to see things happen here that only you can receive the credit, the glory, and the honor for.